The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility in terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour is brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate and start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI School of Skilled Trades. Visit eticampus.edu to learn more.
National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
I got Bears and Texans. Later in the show, I want to play some Lovie Smith sound. He was on with our buddy Barstool Big Cat. PFT on Pardon My Take.
Lovie still has that soothing sound to his voice.
Same guy. He's never changed. No. He's never changed as a guy.
No.
He's the head coach of the Houston Texans. He had some funny stories. There were some funny stories in there.
Quarterback coach
is McDaniels. Ben, are you talking about Ben McDaniels?
Who am I talking about? Is he not on the staff? Your guy, Joshy Pooh.
Oh, Josh, no, I think he is coaching.
Still in high school?
I think he's coaching. They just did. I think Pompey just sat down with Josh.
On the Athletic. You're right, Sylvie. Yeah, they did a...
He's out of the NFL now and just coaching high school, isn't he? And he sends, like, virtual videos to his team because no one wants to stay after practice and stuff. Like, he's catering.
Catching their attention in the manner in which their attention is caught.
Yes. He's adapting to the players, which I think will make a good coach. Remember, the story was Josh McCown could have been named the head coach with no coaching experience.
Of the Texans.
That was the hot rumor. Then eventually they just said, we're going to keep it internal, and we're gonna give Lovie another chance. This is his third head coaching job. Remember, and he talked about getting fired with 10 wins with the Bears with Big Cat.
Yeah.
Play you that. But remember, too, he got run out of town pretty quickly in Tampa.
Yeah.
That was quick. They didn't think he was the right guy to bring... To bring Jameis. Instead, they bounced him and they hired his offensive coordinator to be the head coach. Right.
I will be shocked if Josh has got kids in high school, I think. I'd be shocked if Josh at some point doesn't join the NFL coaching race.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I bet he'll be really good at it.
Yeah, I think the Texans quarterback's coach now is Ben McDaniels. Okay. He's my old neighbor.
Right.
You sold your house to Foxy. I got to be neighbors with Josh McDaniels' brother, Ben, when he was here in town with the Bear under Foxy.
He was
an offensive assistant. Good guy, good family. Yeah.
Good neighbor.
Great neighbor.
Yeah.
Really, just a really good guy.
Do you like to have a couple drinks every now and again to celebrate?
I think so. Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Let's bring in Courtney Cronin, who does great work for ESPN. Her injury story on Roquan and Jalen Johnson is right there on the front page of the NFL page on ESPN.com.
It is. Yes, it is. It's titled, Bears could be down multiple starters versus the Texans. Chicago Bears may be without Roquan Smith. Jalen Johnson versus the Houston Texans.
How you feeling, Courtney?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What's wrong with Roquan Smith and Jalen Johnson?
Well, Roquan has a hip injury, which Matt Eberflus said today was something that he sustained in the Green Bay game, and we didn't get to talk to him in Green Bay because by the time I looked back towards his locker, he was gone. He made a quick exit, so no one's really been able to decipher when it happened because he didn't leave the game at any point. But I think it's a little concerning because he did not practice at all this week, even though Matt Eberflus did say that he's hopeful that he'll be able to play. Alan Williams echoed the same sentiment yesterday. I just think that if you don't go the entire week, there are certain players, obviously someone of his caliber of experience can probably do that, but it would be a little worrisome considering the depth that they have behind him at linebacker and the fact that Matt Adams is not able to go because he has a hamstring injury. So they could be tested. And even what Eberflus was saying, that they were like, when he was asked about, well, Matt Adams is the backup in nickel for Roquan Smith, so then who's like the backup backup? And he said that he was looking at all combinations because if you're going to have two guys down, so he's throwing that out there, like that they could have two guys down. That's obviously not a good sign, but that would mean more playing time, you know, a good chunk of snaps for Jack Sanborn at linebacker, not just on special teams. They have Sterling Weatherford. I think that they would probably want to call someone like Joe Thomas up from the practice squad because he played the Will and the Mike spots in Dallas, has that experience. So, yeah, they could be pretty thin there, for sure.
Courtney, before we get to Jalen Johnson's status as well, how about staying with Roquan? From your perspective, do you believe the contract situation is affecting him in any way on the field or off or however he's handling things?
You know, it's interesting because Matt Eberflus talked about, like, was asked about that today. Like, do you think that this, you know, does he have a choice to make business decisions about himself and, you know, everything else with his contract situation? He said no. Like, you know, when he's a professional, like, well, you know, he'll be out there when he's ready to go. He's ready to go. I do think that that's in everybody's mind for obvious reasons because of the way that the contract situation played out. But we've asked him about it in previous weeks, and it's, you know, at least he's presented it as a complete afterthought, that it's not affecting him whatsoever right now because of the fact that he's in season. And, you know, he knows he has to play the minimum required number of games in order to accrue the season towards free agency, and, you know, that's six games. So I know that Matt Eberflus doesn't want to go down that road of even guessing on things like that, but of course it's going to come up. Are guys, you know, someone like that making a business decision to protect his interest, like how, you know, how severe is the hip injury, all things like that. And it's hard when you can't actually, like, talk to the player, won't talk about it. So, I think that's an interesting one to monitor, just how long this hip thing, you know, if he doesn't play this week, how long this thing progresses.
I have been critical. I don't think he's played very well in the first two games, but I would never.
No, he hasn't.
And I would never, and just me speaking, say that he's not playing at 100%, or I don't think that's the type of guy he is. Courtney, to me, when I watch him, he looks uncomfortable in the position they're asking him to play in this defense.
I don't disagree with that. And, like, when I watch back the film from, like, the All-22 and all, I was getting really confused with myself because I'm like, wait a second.
Right.
Like, he's the Sam in the base defense, which I was, you know, it's kind of like one position in the Sam, but he's a Sam in the base defense, and he's the Will in the nickel. And so, like, there's all these things that are kind of coming into play here where it's different roles and different responsibilities for Roquan Smith than I think he was used to. And certainly there's adjustments to that. There's always going to be when you are in a situation. And, like I don't think I was, you know, Morrow obviously being the Mike in the base defense and then the Will in the nickel. And, I think I just misspoke about that. So Roquan was the Mike in the nickel. It's just a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts. So, like, I've been watching him in trying to figure out, okay, is he just not comfortable yet? Because, I mean, it is a new scheme. It's a new system. You're playing off the defensive lineman in front of you. Yeah, I mean, he had such limited time in the preseason. Maybe that plays into it, but he just hasn't looked great.
Even
though he led the team in tackles that first week, it still feels like there's a learning curve for him in switching from a 3-4 for what his old role used to be to what it is now.
Yeah, and then getting to Jalen Johnson, the stat that's been going around, and it goes in with, obviously, with the rookie who has been exposed here. Jalen Johnson hasn't been targeted yet this season, right? I mean, it's pretty incredible, and he's a valuable, valuable player. What does not having him do for the Bears?
Test their secondary even more than it needs to be. I mean, the reason that that stat is what it is because it's a pretty easy call for any offensive coordinator to make to go and attack the first-year starter in Kendall Vildor on the other side and to go after the rookie nickel, just like Aaron Rodgers did with Kyler Gordon last week. And this is a defense that plays sides. They don't have corners that go and shadow number one receivers, so you don't have somebody that's constantly roaming around the back half of the defense. You can you know, pick apart certain areas and you know, key in on the vulnerabilities of the inexperience. So if that happens, then you probably have, you know, a Lamar Jackson or someone else who just doesn't have in-game experience, kind of like what happened last year. Remember all the COVID stuff and all the injuries with this cornerback group late in the season and just, like, rotating guys in, signing guys off the street from the practice squad? Like, they don't want to be in that situation, but when Jalen Johnson is your most experienced cornerback and, you know, your best cornerback at that too, especially right now, not having him out there, I think really makes you vulnerable in that spot of the defense.
Courtney Cronin joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, Luke Getsy. We played the soundbite a good three or four times here in the last day or two regarding like the attention to detail with Darnell Mooney, and Justin could have thrown it and gotten him over to the right spot quicker. Is he one of the more honest coaches you've covered so far?
I appreciate what Getsy has said about the entire situation. I also think that he's in a mode right now where he's defending himself, you know, in his game plan. I think you kind of have to do that because it's very clear what the head coach wants, more balance on offense. And I have like PTSD from being in Minnesota because I've dealt with this where more balance from the head coach has meant run the ball more. They don't want the balance of the passing game, but it's obvious that there's something missing here. So I think what you don't want to see this week is the overcorrection. Like, you know, he's thrown 28 pass attempts through the first 2 weeks of the season. I wouldn't anticipate him throwing 28 passes in this game because to me that feels like a complete 180 from where they are right now in getting Fields comfortable in this offense because he just doesn't look like it most of the time. But the way that Getsy handled, you know, talking about the 4th-and-1 play at the goal line yesterday and actually explaining what went wrong on that, I very much appreciated that. I think a lot of people did, to know that the shotgun run is something that he would have called again, whether fans and armchair quarterbacks want to agree with that or not. But there's a lot you can glean from Luke Getsy in the way that he talks about this offense and explaining that there were more passing plays. I mean, you have to go back too. I mean, 11 passing attempts was the net that we got from Justin Fields on Sunday. There were 19 called passes, 3 of which were negated by sacks. There was, of course, the illegal throw downfield. You know, there was penalties. Like, there's a lot there. And even in the before the 4th-and-1 play, that was a called pass. Fields, you know, ran and dove towards the pylon, didn't get the touchdown. And on the touchdown, that was a called passing play. So I think you can appreciate Luke Getsy being honest and peeling back the curtain to be like, no, wait, actually, like, when you only have 41 plays, we did kind of have the split 19 passes, 27, you know, rushing attempts. That actually is kind of more of a split than I think you would have thought had you just looked at the box score.
Right. Courtney, how about Justin Fields? There's been a lot talked about in the last few days about his different presentation to the media when he met the media. Obviously, the issue that he talked about the fans. But here's a guy that, despite the lack of overall success of this offense the last year and a half, he seems to be a kid that is unflappable. Are you seeing any cracks in that veneer at all, or is this just the natural maturation process of a young QB?
Yeah, I haven't been around a young quarterback since I covered Derek Carr in Oakland. He got there in 2014, so he was in year 3 when I got out there in 16. So it's a lot different when you've been around veterans for a long time or journeyman quarterbacks, and now you're dealing with somebody who is learning what it's like when every word he says is picked apart, and some words that he says are omitted from sound bites that go around. So, I mean, it's, you know, I think the moment that we had with him on Wednesday when he opened up about, like, just kind of out of nowhere, nobody asked him about the comment about Packers fans. To me personally, like, it didn't register to me. Like, it really didn't until someone had texted me asking me, hey, what was the question that Fields was asked to elicit this response? And I don't know. I just didn't think it was a thing. And apparently,
neither did we.
I mean, most sane human beings don't think that that's a thing. But again, you have meathead fans who, like, buy into that and say, oh, like, he's taking a shot at us. No, he's not, because this is his livelihood. This is going to, like, this year is going to affect his future earnings. It's going to affect everyone's future earnings. So I think that, like, anybody with a brain can understand that. But
Courtney, the following day, he was serving up meatball after meatball to all of the meatballs, including everyone out there listening about getting up early and everything else. I just wondered if that was just part of, you know, a young quarterback learning how to deal with all of the stuff off the field as well as on the field.
I think it's trying to get the sour taste out of his mouth. Yeah. Like, sometimes that stuff can be an overcorrection. So you have to, I think, if you're his coaches, warrant against. And some of the stuff that he'll do when he loses or when he's not feeling like he's performing at his best. I talked to his quarterback's coach, Quincy Avery. It's his private guy that he does in the off season for a feature I wrote on him in August. And we talked about how he had to have him on effectively a pitch count, and you know, certain times where you're like, no, we're shutting it down right now because you're going to wear out your arm. And even his high school coach has talked about that. Like, this is somebody who, if something's not going right, you want to flush it, you want to fix it, and sometimes that means going like doing 180 of what you normally do, but sometimes you can go too much in that direction, which I can see the argument for that from some of the, like, you know, the waking up an hour earlier, all these things from that he said from his press conference. I think what we can take from that, though, is he wants to be himself. Like, he doesn't want to be the football robot who, you know, like, kind of like Mitch Trubisky was with the crowd in Chicago. I mean, you didn't really glean much from him, and anytime he opened his mouth, he was criticized, so then he wouldn't say anything. You want your quarterback to embody certain things. You want him to be able to speak about things with honesty, and I think that's where Fields wants to go. He just realizes that with having the platform he has, there comes a bigger responsibility to, when you aren't happy after a loss, clarify what you mean and not be curt, because then your words are probably going to get misconstrued.
Has your confidence been shaken at all about his future after what you've seen the first two games?
I know that, like, look, I know that it feels for some that the sky is falling, that the organization's ready to pull the plug on him. And I'm just going to go back to what I've been saying since I got onto this beat in March. Like, you are not going to know the answer as to whether this guy is your franchise quarterback after this season because of the situation that he inherits this year. He has to improve without the burden of winning games on his shoulders. You can go back to every clip of this show, of any other show I've been on, where we've talked about Justin Fields. That's my stance that I've maintained this entire time. Like, you have to, like, nobody knows after 2 years whether he's the guy or not. What he has to do, though, is prove to this team, I'm worth building around. I have made improvements within X, Y, and Z. Go out and get me another receiver. Fix the pass protection this way. Do things like that, because I've shown you I have the mechanics. I mean, there's a reason that they didn't go start signing a bunch of receivers this offseason, and instead they started focusing on the things that they could fix with Justin Fields first, like his mechanics, his footwork, all of those things, before giving him all the weapons like that you would think a quarterback would need. So I think it's, you know, of course we're going to, I think we're going to learn a lot this weekend, because this is him going against a similar look defense to what he faces every day in practice.
Right.
That is going to be a good sign of, okay, how does he process against, like, in an actual NFL game against something that is pretty familiar to him. So you'll know more, but the answers on you're just not going to know who Justin Fields truly is if he is your franchise quarterback after this year. But I think most fans that have realistically, you know, listened to us, the people who are at training camp and at practice and saying, yeah, there's some up and down days for this offense, and not poo-pooing the notion and saying that we're negative and that, you know, the offense is in a place where it's not. Those things are real, and that's the reason that you're seeing it translate to NFL games right now, and no one should be surprised about that. Like, that's just what kind of, like, makes my blood boil, because it doesn't, like, it's like, what have we been talking about for the last 6 months? Like, are you expecting this guy to be a Hall of Famer, like, after, to know that after 2 weeks, and also ready to, like, you know, boot him out of town after 2 weeks? That's just irrational fan behavior, and so I think you kind of have to sort through that and realize that this organization, for right now, with, you know, privately behind the scenes, they want him to pan out. But a lot of this is going to be on him to take the tools that he has sharpened and those that are brand new to him that he's learned from this staff and put them into action because a coaching staff can only do so much. Yeah. Game, a play caller can only do so much. Your receivers can only do so much. So when it falls on you, you have to perform to a certain level.
That's a very JD of you. That's a good, like, that's what JD would scold us or fans about. Now, I'm not panicking, but I have said that I am a little nervous. So, like, I heard you and I heard others from camp, but what I didn't expect and what I am surprised by is Justin Fields going over the line of scrimmage when he had a nice
open receiver
well before that, and he's 3.5 yards over the line of scrimmage. Like, that's very Cade McNown-ish. That's very Mitch Trubisky-ish. It's stuff that I don't – there are signs that I don't love other than just a guy growing. So you get what I'm saying, too?
Of course. And, I mean, I think that the Darnell Mooney, that playoff of the missed throw off of play action, when they say that they have practiced that a bunch and he's not able to make that throw, and I did think it was kind of interesting, just the – it felt like there was more – I don't want to use the word blame, but it felt like more was being placed on Darnell didn't run the right route, or he ran the route, but it wasn't how he normally runs it, something like that. And instead of Fields being able to place the ball in a specific spot – the quarterback couldn't help out the receiver because the receiver didn't do his job. Like, there's got to be a happy medium for both. You have to learn that covered in college does not mean covered in the NFL. Covered in the NFL, you can get open. You can throw guys open. And again, these are the little things we're going to be able to, like, you know, connect the dots this year. Can he start to show that he can do those things and improve his own mechanics within that to show you he can operate an offense at a higher level than, you know, we've seen through the first 2 weeks? So, you know, the illegal downfield pass that he had, that was a dumb play. That was a really dumb play, and I think that he realized that. But there's, you know, the third down, and the first third down in the second half when Equanimeous St. Brown, you know, waves his hand up to be like, I'm not running the curl route anymore, I'm running a go. Like, I'm open, and you can watch back the All-22. Yeah. Fields looks directly at him. He just didn't...
Well, he had the curl on the other side wide open as well. He didn't choose either one.
And he chose the check down, and so I think that... a lot of that stuff is correctable, and it makes sense when we look back in hindsight. I just, in terms of the processing, in terms of like how quickly he's able to make decisions, that's the thing you need to see take like a bigger jump from, you know, now through the next couple weeks.
Courtney, I completely agree with your premise that, look, the last thing I want to see Luke Getsy do is overdo the passing because everyone's being critical of only 28 attempts at this point, but I do expect them to open things up a little bit more. Is that your expectation as well this Sunday? Again, you mentioned they will see a defensive style that they see every day in practice, but would you expect them to be a more wide open offense on Sunday?
I would. It's just a matter of this is a pass defense that's given up 270 yards a game, and they have to. Like, I mean, you're not a good offense if you can't get your top skill guy, both of them, Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, but really starting with Mooney. If you can't get those guys involved, this offense is going to have a ceiling, and you are going to have situations where you're going three and out routinely and leading to losing the time of possession battle by double digits and only running 41 plays. So I would anticipate there will be some schemed throws.
Yes, early.
And yes, like, you know, there's a reason a script exists, like, in the NFL. Like, go look at their first... the first touchdown that they had, it was balanced. There were four runs from David Montgomery. There was a 30-yard flea flicker. Like, I've always wondered how coaches can, and of course, game plan defenses dictate everything, but how can you carry over more of what you script past the first drive or two and being able to spark some offense from that instead of getting into the mode of playing catch-up? So... We saw a bunch of screens during the preseason. Where are those? How can they be executed more effectively than Darnell Mooney getting tackled 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage? Like, those are the things that this offense has to do in order to create a passing attack that can be carried over, like, from week to week, but really starting this week. And I think they have a good opportunity to do it. Houston's very much on the same level as this Bears team. They are a team that's in a developmental stage. I mean, Davis Mills was taken the same draft as Justin Fields in the third round. And I think that they're in a spot where if they want to right the ship here a little bit, this is probably their best chance to do it within the next couple weeks.
Really quick, give me a score.
I'll pick. I know the line, I think, is like 2.5 right now. I'm picking the Bears 20-17. That's the thing that this offense needs to prove too. Can you score more than 20 points? Because we saw it in the first game, saw 10 points in the second game. That's not going to win you a lot of games in the NFL. Like, you have to be able to keep pace with your opponent. But I don't know if they'll have to, you know, light up the scoreboard, so to speak, against Houston. So yeah, 20-17 Bears on Sunday.
Great work, Courtney. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, all right? Courtney.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
There you go. Courtney Cronin, really great work. We had a long Bears hit with her. We did not talk to her early in the week, so we had a lot to catch up on. The Roquan Smith. There's a good Twitch conversation going on, too, of what we had off the air about Roquan. That later in the show, I want to bring that to the table. Waddle's World is coming up next. And in Chicago, there's
a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
Everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time
machine. The machine doesn't watch the
smelling ball. Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle.
Are the machines coming after me?
Have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
That's right. It's time to go inside.
Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Damn Skippy. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. I made a play on the Cubs today, good or bad. I bet on them to win. Money line bet. They're in Pittsburgh. What do you think?
Look, they've been. It's gone up and down. You know how I feel. The second half has produced a lot of good storylines. Did you see the immaculate inning yesterday?
Yes, some dude came in and threw 9 pitches and got 3 outs on strikeouts, correct?
Who they got from the Yankees. I mean,
is that the immaculate inning? Is that how you do that?
Right, where every pitch, it's just
strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. You face 3 batters, you strike out all 3 of them, and you go minimum pitches.
Yes. And
is he a reliever? Did he start the game? I wasn't watching.
I'm not sure yesterday, but he's a starter. He's a guy, another one of the guys. Did he start yesterday, Tyler?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a could be.
Could be there. And
he's a could be.
It's what
are we all could bes?
We could not all be. Of us.
But it's what the Cleveland Guardians have done very well. I told you.
Developed
this
their
is
guys.
Why Jed went to their organization to poach his GM. He wanted to find the secret sauce. You know, they wanted to. They lacked this under Theo. They never developed their own pitchers. A lot of their internal. Prospects pitching wise have had good years.
And
so you're
excited about their future?
I do, yeah, and I think they're going to spend this offseason.
This is why when we asked the question yesterday, and would you, was it yesterday or the day before, about who would you take in terms of a future play? Or what was the question? It was a difficult.
Who would you rather be? The Sox or Cubs going into the
offseason?
So is a Hayden Wesneski get you more excited than Mervis and Canario, or
he's busting balls right now?
He's
all dressed up like he's a professor today, and now he's busting your balls.
Some of the trades they made look pretty good, and usually whenever you're the team selling. You usually do win the trade.
Yeah, Mello, your team's got 9 guys who all should be DHs playing all over the field. How are you feeling?
I mean, I don't have to invest a whole lot of time in the White Sox these days.
That's true.
There's a relief in my life right now.
Did you play? And we talked about it off the air making money on the Indians. And what did we say? The money was on the run line.
I know.
Like, my butt cheeks were clenched a little bit late in that game because they had a 4-1 lead, and then...
I didn't tune in. That was the
Gavin
first Sox...
Sheets hit a bomb, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to win by 2.
It was the first Sox game in a long time
that I
just avoided. Look, when you're watching in a one TV setup, I was watching in the family room, then the bedroom. It's impossible to channel surf.
Wow, you've given up. They're not out of it.
Oh no, they're not,
mathematically new.
They are dead. They're completely dead. They're buried. They're dead. They're done.
Not mathematically.
Yeah.
So you want to play? Let's play the Tigers tonight. Probably get a little value on that. Giolito's taking the ball for the Sox.
I'm telling you, I'm done with them. And I think Sox fans are done with them. Where the next story is...
Are you done with them so much that you're willing to bet against them tonight with the Tigers as your play?
I am not making any sort of an investment on White Sox baseball, pro or against.
Damn. And you would bet on two frogs pooping.
No, there's enough football to gamble on.
Who do you got tonight? There's Virginia or Syracuse?
Oh, Syracuse. Because of
the number? Do you know the number on the game?
It's and a half.
What was that line again?
It's really an and a half.
Almost. It's 11. Yeah, I think that's what I heard
that's
you
what
say.
I said.
Oh, so
yeah.
There's been movement.
Wasn't it?
It was 9.5 earlier.
It was 11. It went up to 11. Now it's 11. You're right. And now it's
movement.
It was not.
I love that Waddle is, years ago, he would not know who the hell's playing college football on a Friday night.
Listen, I'm normally running home to get to the local restaurant with my wife to get belly full and plenty of
obliterated.
Are you drinking tonight? Because you've been.
I have not had one drink all week.
I know it was because you're
making
blood
work.
Making
up
I didn't get the blood
time.
Work today. I didn't get it done today. I got a physical October 6th, and I'm.
See, you're trying
I gotta get my blood work.
You're
done.
Trying to cheat the blood work.
Yes, he is. That's manipulation.
You've got to live the way you've been living. To
that's
properly
not true. No, you got to give. Like I would disagree. I need to give my internal organs a little bit of a break before they're actually tested.
You're trying to...
Like, you don't take the car in, like, right after you've gone on a cross-country trip. You got to give that thing a chance to cool off.
Like, he's trying to cram before a test, is what he's doing. He's had a year full of drinking.
I'm trying to bring it back to normal.
And now all of a sudden he's cramming and will go... Days without drinking to get a misread.
This is a guy who's
not a misread.
This is a guy who's done some recreational drug use. Who's like all of a sudden at the GMC trying to buy something that's
going to clean my urine.
Yeah, like drinking a lot of water
drinking
before
a lot
the test.
Of, drinking a lot of cranberry juice.
You just don't want your doctor scolding you, is what you're looking
He's
for.
He's going to scold me anyway.
Because he was the one who told you.
That's my cardiologist.
Your cardiologist said
that. Asked me how old I was. I said 53. And he goes, act like it. And basically hung up. Basically hung up the phone.
That's a good
I mean, we got all my tests done.
Right,
I got all my tests done. You probably met him up in...
Oh, yeah. I've done a test. Yeah, the stress test is the real deal.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
Oh, but that sucks.
But I have like a small hole in my heart.
Can tell by the way you treat me. Heartless bastard.
No, that would mean I'd have a dark heart, not a hole in it. That's a birth defect. So like when your heart pumps, like a little bit of blood seeps through, and that kind of like it's
really so.
A lot of people have it. It's just, and you don't even know it. But like I had a little bit of an irregular heartbeat a while ago after driving all the way home from. Actually drinking every night down in South Carolina and then driving home 15 hours in the next couple of days. And it was just, my body was a little tapped out. So I had a little bit of an irregular heartbeat. So I went through the whole process and I actually had they did an echocardiogram or whatever it is where they send dye into your heart. It like pumps and it's whether or not it'll flush it through, whatever. But at the end of it all, I got two thumbs up. But this was kind of like, in conclusion, Tom, how old are you? I'm 53. Act like it. Click.
And then you haven't act like that. Except before the blood test. It's true. Just say it.
You know what? I'm somewhat guilty. I'm somewhat guilty. But like every now and again, whether you're getting... I've done this in the past. It's been a while. But every now and again, it's good to let the vehicle rest. Like... There's no reason to run.
You're like a
constantly hot.
You're like a wrestler trying to make weight. And then when the weigh-in comes you're going to just binge on every piece of food in front of you.
He's wearing the hooded sweatshirt right now. He's trying to cut weight.
He's sweating, running a mile.
He's up and down the stairs.
I'm under 186. I'm trying to get to like 185 and a half.
Well, without alcohol, it will melt off.
It has. But like, I'm not sitting at home drinking 10 beers a night. So let's not project that.
Every other
a couple,
night.
No, I'm drinking like two glasses of red wine a night. But I haven't had a sip since Sunday.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I didn't get my blood taken today. So I'm going to do it next week. So I'm going to get liquored up tonight.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Probably. A little bit. Like, liquored up for me is not like getting drunk and running down the street naked. Like,
sometimes
it's just sitting at the house and having fun. Or going to the restaurant and having fun.
And betting on Syracuse football.
Betting on Syracuse football. No, I'm going to have bets tonight on the Tigers and the Cubs. How about that?
Wow. That's some
Do you hear yourself right
yes,
now?
Yes, I know.
That's some baseball royalty right there.
Maybe I do need to start drinking. If I was sober, I wouldn't be betting on the Tigers and the Cubs.
I think the Cubs, Tigers, and the Pirates are playing in that game too, right?
This is like a brain wires, like they're getting crossed right now. Like you're sober and now you're having withdrawals from gambling on really bad baseball.
2 weeks ago, I was down to $4 in my DraftKings account. $4.
Were you not wanting to I was like,
I'm not going back to the well. I'm not going back to the well. I got to win.
You hit zero.
Right.
Because you would go back to the well when you hit zero.
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
You're like, I got to build this thing back up.
I built it back. I got it like back to about like $150, which is a lot for me.
And that's when you got to put together the Magic 5-16 parlay.
Yeah.
Build that kitty back up.
We're going to win the
Merkin's Hail Mary parlay from the other week.
Merkin hit a parlay. What was it?
It was the Cardinals and then some directional Michigan school.
The Arizona Cardinals when they won in overtime against the Raiders last week in like Eastern Kentucky.
No, really? It was like Eastern Michigan. Were they the ones that beat Arizona State, right?
Yeah. Yes.
To fire Herm Edwards.
Good for Mark.
By the way, have you seen that story? Here, I got to give you that story. Back to some seriousness here. I got the. There's another addendum to the chess player.
Oh, this is again?
Yeah, there's a.
The
I'll bring that to
guy?
You a little bit. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll bring that to you. Yeah,
there's
in a second.
A kid in front of the studio.
No, I know. That's why I went the other direction.
Away, yeah,
that's went the other direction. No,
you
there's
talk
a story.
About anal beads chess playing with
Would
the kid
you
there.
Stop it! I did not. You guys were talking about it. There's a story out there. I'm trying to find it now about how. There was member. Here it is. Arizona State staffers were leaking information to help opponents to get Herm Edwards fired.
Wow.
In the wake of Sunday's news, Herm Edwards will no longer be the head coach at Arizona State. The Athletic's Doug Haller took a lengthy look at the Edwards tenure in Tempe and how things fell apart. Though Edwards never had a losing season, he entered the 2022 campaign very firmly on the hot seat. So much so, according to Haller, that people inside the athletic department were loose with team intel in the hopes of inducing a coaching change.
That sucks. That sucks.
An opposing coach recently told the Athletic that it wasn't hard to get intel on this season's team because some within Arizona State Athletics wanted a coaching change.
That's stupid.
That's horrible.
Traitors.
This happened a couple years ago with Wake Forest, but it was the broadcast. It was the Wake Forest football play-by-play guy.
Right.
Was leaking info to the other side. Yeah.
Wasn't one of Herm's good friends the AD? That
wasn't
the
his
AD?
Former agent, right?
Yes. And then the AD met him on the field coming off the field of the last game to basically tell him he was fired.
Didn't he build his staff with a bunch of former head coaches?
He had Antonio Pierce. Remember the Giants linebacker, I believe, was his defensive coordinator. He had a lot of former players and who's
the former Bengals coach? Didn't he go there with him?
Hugh Jackson?
No, before him, who had the long run.
Marvin Lewis is there. Brian Billick's there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. See? And I want to say, too, one of the offensive linemen, a former offensive lineman with the Jets was there, who was active in the union. I don't know why I can't
Kevin Mawai.
Mawai. Wasn't Mawai there?
Kevin.
Yeah, I think he was, at some point.
Yeah, he was the president of the
Players
NFLPA.
Association. So, listen, that's dirty pool. When staffers are actually leaking information to the opponent to get you fired.
They should be fired.
I agree.
They should be fired.
Yeah. When we come back, I have two space stories.
Oh, good.
And I've got an update on the chess situation.
Okay.
That's next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, for all you gamblers out there as well, I forgot to give you this little nugget. Chargers will list quarterback Justin Herbert as questionable for Sunday's game, and Chase Daniel took first-team reps today.
Ooh.
The number on that game went from 47 to 42.
Kittle's back for the 49ers.
That's good.
That was an injury note as well.
Okay, real quick. The world-class chess champ has broken his silence after his shocking resignation. You remember Magnus Carlsen?
How could I forget? You get an update every day.
Well, I mean, listen, the story continues to grow. I think that there's been some peace. It's like a peace accord here. He said, unfortunately, cannot particularly speak on the situation that occurred earlier, but people can draw their own conclusion, and they certainly have. I have to say, though, I'm very impressed by Neiman's play, and I think his mentor must be doing a great job. So just the update is that
there seems to be
a peace accord with the chess situation.
There should be a Netflix documentary.
No question. There's been no future or no other claims of shenanigans coming from the chess champ. All right. Armageddon comes to real life on Monday. I mean the movie. The movie Armageddon?
No. Oh, we're going up for the...
Do you remember the movie Armageddon?
Yeah. Right.
What did they do in Armageddon?
Well, I didn't see it, but they...
Meteor coming to Earth about to blow up the universe.
They're working... there's nothing headed our way, but they're trying it out.
On Monday, NASA will attempt a feat humanity has never before accomplished, deliberately smacking a spacecraft into an asteroid to slightly deflect its orbit in a key test of our ability to stop cosmic objects from devastating life on Earth.
So we're just trying to push it, to veer it.
It's called the DART program, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test.
I like it.
Spaceship, it was launched from California last September and is fast approaching its target. How about that? We launched the aircraft last November. It's about to reach its target now.
Yeah, let's make a prediction. Will this work? Will it be successful? I say yes.
I say yes, and they'll lie to you even if it doesn't to make you feel
There's
better.
There's no way of us knowing, right? Yeah. They'll be like, oh, total success.
It will strike the target at roughly 14,000 miles per hour.
Wow.
You're going to have to explain to me how it's been out there since November. That's like 11 months.
Yeah.
How do you have enough fuel on something like that to do it?
There's lots of good questions.
I don't have any answers. Space scares me.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So I'll let you know. There will be an update.
Okay.
So I can promise you next week an update on the anal bead chest story and the asteroid being whacked by a giant flying aircraft story.
All right. That's good. That's why we tune into Waddle's World every day. All right. Coming up next, we're going to make you some money. Doug Kazarian with the plays of the weekend. And then I also want to bring that Roquan conversation to the surface as well. He is questionable for this weekend. We'll get you set for Bears this weekend, of course, against Lovie and the Houston Texans. It's all next.